You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday, and it's another beauty here in New England, and we are just thrilled to be here. You know, I was writing my opening today, and I just jot down a couple points I don't want to forget throughout the day. And I kept writing. Now, obviously, this all depends on several factors. Obviously, this depends on different variables. And just as I was about to step out here, Fox News alert, Trump hush money grand jury canceled today. Once again, the hunt for Orange March continues. Mugshot watch is still on, but it's not going to be happening anytime soon, at least not in the next couple of hours. And this actually doesn't surprise me because I was reading a few different things. One of them really notable from Fox about Bob Costello's testimony this week and how this could have thrown a wrench in the plan to get Trump. But the indictment might come down at some point this week. It could come down tomorrow or the next day. And of course, like I said, it depends. But if the former president does get indicted, he's expected to be arraigned at some point next week. And of course, that depends on different factors. The Secret Service, the Manhattan DA's office, they'll have to coordinate on the details involved in getting Trump to make his surrender. And if it gets to that point, that's when the real circus begins. But it's not happening today. The Trump hush money grand jury was canceled. Not exactly sure why yet. I'm guessing the narrative is going to be, you know, security reasons, that we thought that the Trump supporters would have another January 6th style insurrection outside. The barricades wouldn't be enough. And DA Bragg, though he will not be intimidated, was not going to put the court or the grand jury in jeopardy.
Is MSNBC going to be following the jurors in their SUVs like they did during the Rittenhouse trial? I'm just curious.
No, they'll have more respect for these jurors. These are jurors they can respect. So Greg Jarrett, like I said, he had a really good piece in Fox about how Bob Costello's recent testimony could derail this indictment. And we can talk about that. But I would argue that nothing, no amount of evidence that showcases how weak and misguided this case is, no amount of op-eds about the damage this is going to do for the rest of time to the United States of America, turn us into a banana republic, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. The fix is in. And Michael Cohen, being a serial liar slash convicted felon, and simultaneously being the star witness of this sham, again, not enough to undo the fix. I was trying to think of like what I would compare this to with D.A. Bragg, and it reminded me of the Kim Kardashian wedding to Chris Humphries. And she talked about it years later, and she was talking about how she kind of knew before she walked down the aisle that it was a bad idea. But at that point, there'd been so much money put into it. There's so many people there. And I feel like this is a celebrity wedding. There's so much attention. There's cameras. There's excitement. You got everybody's hopes up. Anna Navarro's in the front row crying already. Out of tears of joy, not tears of rage, tears of joy. You can't turn around now. You can't say you're not going to walk down the aisle. The invitations have been printed and sent out. The guests are in their seats. Start playing the damn music. Let's go. And I just don't think there's any way that Bragg can get out of this now, even if he wanted to. Now, meanwhile, as we'll keep an eye on all of this, grand jury's on standby for tomorrow, so not a lot is going to happen in this case right now, which is actually kind of nice because we've been doing a lot of Trump mugshot watch for the last 2 days, and it might be a nice day to take a little bit of a break from it. We're still going to discuss it. Obviously, we'll still take your calls, but there's a lot of news out there. DeSantis sat down for an interview with Piers Morgan, which has a lot of Trump supporters up in arms, a lot of blue check marks. I will say this, a good deal of this interview was exaggerated for headlines. You know, publications wanting clicks. That's the beauty of the biz, you know. But when you actually listen to the cuts, he didn't say anything that wild about Donald J. Trump. We can play some of the cuts. We can talk about it if anyone feels he was truly out of bounds with anything he said. But he wouldn't admit that he's going to run for president. And I don't think he will do that. Some people say maybe May is when he'll make it official. But speaking of sit-down interviews, remember that cut I played the other day of Dr. Fauci? And Dr. Fauci was visiting residents in D.C. with Mayor Muriel Bowser. And they were walking around. I think it was June of 2021. And they were trying to convince D.C. residents to get the Fauci-ouchie.
Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie.
To get the jab. You know, to give in. And at the beginning of this, I just want to give everyone a refresher in case you've forgotten. There were a lot of incentives, and there still are. You can still find incentives if you want to. Like if you really want a gift card to a grocery store, maybe you go get the booster, you get your $25 gift card. There's still stuff out there if you look. But at the beginning, it was wild. It was like lottery tickets, beer, donuts, Shake Shack, whatever you wanted, you could get if only you would get vaccinated. And so Fauci and Bowser are out in D.C., and they're going door to door, and they're trying to convince people to get vaccinated. And this one man in D.C., and I played this cut, and if you missed it, go back, listen to the podcast. We actually titled the entire hour based around this cut, so you'll be able to find it. It was just excellent. This guy really laid them out and really was a voice of reason for a lot of people who might not have, you know, white lab coats. They might not get invited on MSNBC. They might not be beautiful people, thrice vaccinated, going to Obama's birthday parties, but they had common sense. And they had questions. And they had skepticism. All of those things, common sense, questions, skepticism, none of that plays well for Dr. Fauci. The doc don't like it, okay? He does not appreciate any pushback. He appreciates obedient lay people who will do what they're told. So he has this back and forth with this man, and it goes viral 2 years later. And I'm sitting here going, why did PBS release this? I couldn't figure it out. I thought, did they think this back and forth made Fauci look good? Because it did not. I can assure you it did not. And then it turns out that it was all because they were filming a documentary of Dr. Fauci over the last few years. And this footage that was compiled is meant to show the ups and downs of the hero, the protagonist, Dr. Fauci. And how he even had to deal with detractors like that man in D.C. And so now we have cuts from this documentary, and we haven't done this in a while. You know, we haven't really focused on Fauci. This is a slobber fest. But what amazes me is how Tony Fauci has shown us time and time again, almost on every single occasion, who he truly is. Like maybe if he had one moment where he seemed kind of narcissistic, I'd say, yeah. It might have been taken out of context. It doesn't play. Every single time I see this man, he is an out of control ego maniac. He is an elitist, snobby, self-centered tyrant who is used to getting his way and used to the entire world and, of course, the mainstream media revolving around him. He's always focused on his accolades, on his accomplishments, on his good press, far more than he's ever focused on anyone's health or well-being. And this PBS documentary exposes that for what is it, like the 30th time that this guy is an out of control, self-centered narcissist. And so we'll play cuts of that as well. We'll keep you in the loop. We'll take your reactions to it. 844-500-4242. Also in the news today, San Francisco. Remember when Seth Rogen said about L.A. that like the price of living in the big city is that you're going to get your car broken into? We've got another story that's right along those lines. It reminds me so much of the Seth Rogen situation that I think he should be getting royalties from this story. So we will talk about that. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. If you want to comment on Donald Trump and the fact that the grand jury, the hush money grand jury, has been canceled today, or you could comment on what our poll question is. And I was thinking about this because Howie has a column out and he was talking about how be careful what you wish for. Like the Democrats seem to really want Trump's mugshot. They want him in handcuffs. They want him in the orange jumpsuit. They want that photo. And you have to imagine that because they hate Trump so much that they want that photo so that they can kill his chances of becoming president. But if they overstep and they kill his chances of becoming the GOP nominee, then that leaves us with DeSantis. And I don't know if that's actually what they want. So our question in today's poll question is trying to figure that out, like trying to almost get into the mind of a Democrat. Because you kind of, it's almost Occam's razor, like you're left with two choices here. They're either overplaying their hand and they have no idea how bad this is going to backfire on them. And they're morons, which is totally, you know, hey, we've got plenty of evidence to show that could be the case. But Dems can also be very strategic. So now I'm starting to wonder if they want Trump to be the nominee. And that's my question for the audience. People are already on the lines, 844-500-4242. Oh, and there's one more story we're going to get to today. We have a story later on, and it was in the Wall Street Journal, about how there's this new thing happening since people are returning to work, where they are stealing the forks and knives out of the company kitchen. We're going to talk about that at some point during the show today. Plus, Caroline Levitt from New Hampshire calling in at the 2 o'clock. A really great show planned, and we want to hear from you. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Come on. Here's the funny thing. I thought everyone would be glad to get a little break from this indictment talk that we've been having this discussion now for 2 days. Guess what? People still want to talk about it. And I'm not here to try to convince people what is worth talking about. I think this is still a huge story. I still am jacked up to talk about it. So let's get people on the lines. Let's hear what people have to say. Let's start with Mike. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace. Nice to talk to you. I got a tweet literally 20 minutes ago that said that the grand jury was canceled because the last witness yesterday testified that they discovered thousands of documents exculpatory in nature,
yep,
which could actually put Bragg at risk of being charged with prosecutorial misconduct. So, you know, it didn't say that the whole thing is being dropped, but
it doesn't look good.
True, and I couldn't tell you who it came from, but I wasn't expecting to be calling you today.
No, Mike, I'm really glad you brought this up because you're giving me a great segue into this piece I was referring to from Fox, which highlights exactly what Mike is saying, which is a lot came out from that Bob Costello testimony. Now, Bob Costello is a lawyer. He's represented Steve Bannon. He's represented Rudy Giuliani. And at one point, he represented serial liar Michael Cohen. But, and I think this was because of a book or something, there's no longer attorney-client privilege because it was waived at one point by Michael Cohen. So Bob Costello can talk about whatever he wants to talk about. So I'm going to read this now. This is Greg Jarrett. I added this into my recommended reading for today. And while I discuss this, we'll get more people on the lines. But I want to read it directly from Fox News because I thought that Jarrett did a really good job breaking this down. He says the DA invented his case against Trump by taking an alleged misdemeanor business records violation and supercharging it into a felony. Because normally, as I just want to point out here, normally Alvin Bragg is lessening charges. He's dropping or downgrading charges from felonies to misdemeanors. In this case, a rarity, you might say, he's supercharging something that wouldn't really be a blip on the radar to a national story of the president about to be arrested. Now, the novelty of such a charge is exceeded only by its absurdity. The flaw in Bragg's tortured logic is twofold. First, non-disclosure agreements in exchange for money are perfectly legal. Second, Cohen long ago stated that the payment had nothing to do with the campaign, but was made to protect Melania Trump from an embarrassing accusation. He says, albeit false. I don't know if it's true or false. As such, it is not, and I would say it's probably true. That's just my instinct from watching this all play out. As such, it is not an illegal campaign donation under the law, hence there is no crime. So what Bragg and these Democrats are banking on is that this was categorized incorrectly. And it should have been categorized as a campaign contribution because he paid off Stormy Daniels with this hush money and using Michael Cohen as the surrogate here. He paid this money, Donald Trump, so that it wouldn't affect his run for president. The problem, as Jarrett is pointing out, is that it's very easy to say, well, no, he paid this money because his wife was going to be ticked off. He was having an affair with the porn star. Now, out of those two things, what do you think came first? For most human beings who are married, I would guess that not having your spouse find out that you're having an affair with the porn star trumps, no pun intended, whatever political ambitions you have. Reliance on such a character as Cohen is a clear sign of the DA's desperation. Cohen's hatred of Trump is well known. He's always had a warped relationship with the truth. He peddled so many lies that there's no way to know whether the disgraced and disbarred lawyer even understands the concept of honesty. Now, here's where we get to what Mike was just talking about, and this is very important. Cohen's former attorney, Robert Costello, like I said, no longer bound by attorney-client privilege, testified before the grand jury on Monday. According to Costello, in April of 2018, Cohen repeatedly stated that the Daniels payment was intended to protect the candidate's wife, not the campaign. So that runs in direct contrast with what this case is trying to prove. Moreover, Cohen insisted that he acted all on his own and not at the behest of Trump. While testifying for over 2 hours, Costello said he realized that Bragg had been hiding from the grand jury nearly all of the files he had previously turned over to the DA that corroborated Cohen's original story. Now that's a bombshell. That's a problem. Concealing exculpatory evidence from a grand jury is reprehensible conduct. But the question is this, was Cohen lying at the outset of the investigation or is he lying now? I doubt even he knows. We'll continue to take calls on this. I see you on the lines, 844-500-4242. But talk about a banana republic. What is going on? This guy's given a 2-hour testimony and he realizes all this stuff hasn't even been turned over. We'll take more calls on this. We'll get your reaction. We'll do the poll question, all of that and so much more when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Bragg's determination to snooker a grand jury into indicting Trump is an egregious abuse of government authority. It constitutes the weaponization of the law for political gain, but it is also, and importantly, selective prosecution of the worst kind. This is again from Greg Jarrett of Fox News talking about how Bob Costello's testimony potentially unraveled this whole case. And I just, before I go to the calls here, I have to read you this text from Nick, who's one of our best texters, and he's a very loyal listener. He says, Grace, I think Costello's testimony stopped them in their tracks. They realize they can't rely on Cohen, but they will go forward in figuring another angle. They just realized they can't rely on Michael Cohen. You know when I would have thought that light bulb would have flashed a little bit? In 2018, when Michael Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in prison, I feel like that might have done it. But no. But no. This is what it took. It took this testimony from Bob Costello to basically contradict everything Michael Cohen has been saying for Bragg to back off, maybe. But again, I go back to what I said in the opening. I don't think he can walk away from this. Imagine, Jared, the meltdowns. This is flowers for Algernon. I talk about flowers for Algernon all the time because, or if you want to use a different thing, how you gonna keep them down on the farm now that they seem perry? How you gonna, you can't give people something like this and then say, never mind. You give Anna Navarro this red meat and then you try to take it away from her. You're going to get your hand bitten. I mean, there's no question that people are going to be angry about this, that they don't want to give this up now. They think they're going to get a mugshot, and damn it, they better get one. They don't care if it ruins the American justice system for the rest of time. They don't care if we turn into a banana republic. They don't care the damage this will do for people's trust in our government, in our justice system. That doesn't matter. What matters is mugshot. That's the name of the game, mugshot. Steve, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi, Grace. I just been remembering back in the day when Cohen was first prosecuted. And what I'm saying is his attorney then was a bitter partisan Democratic Clintonite, Lanny Davis. And I still saw him on TV walking behind next to Cohen recently. And, you know, they would do anything to hurt Clinton. And I think Lanny Davis got Cohen to plead guilty in an effort to try to plead out that he would, you know, say something against Trump. That was the objective at the time. But he ended up just being found guilty and going to jail.
Yeah, there's been so many attempts to get Donald Trump, and Michael Cohen has really been at the center of a lot of these. And I mean, he's just, you talk about Democrats being disappointed in Alvin Bragg. Michael Cohen is another one. All these people who, it must be really hard for them, because when you think about it, there's so many people that have gone up against Trump. And even if they've lost, even if they've ended up in jail, Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels, they've been able to a degree, for some amount of time, become a star, to gather that strange new respect from the media, to be a hero. And if you play your cards right, I should open up a school on this, like how to become an anti-Trump darling of the mainstream media. If you play your cards right and you're a Vindman or you're a Peter Strzok and you play the victim while you also continuously tell people how much you hate Donald Trump, that combination, playing the victim, hating Trump, getting on TV, you can ride that ticket right into the sunset. You can take that to the bank. And Alvin Bragg is dangerously close right now to going the opposite direction. Because what we found is people, if you make a really good effort to take down Trump, if he attacks you, if he hates you, then the left will love you. But if you overpromise and underdeliver, which we've seen before, the left wants nothing to do with you. You might as well be part of Trump's crew. Because like I said, you get people's hopes up. That's a dangerous game to play. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $149.99 a night on weekdays and $179.99 a night on weekends. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is: do Democrats want Trump to be the GOP nominee?
Do Democrats want Trump to be the GOP nominee? I'm going to say yes. I think they want to see a Biden-Trump matchup because they were able to do it before. They were able to win it before. Now, I put this out on my Twitter, and it was extremely close. So I'll be curious how the poll on the website does. It was extremely close, but the responses I got from people who really want Trump and don't want DeSantis, the responses I got from those people were, the media wants DeSantis. I'm not so sure about that. I've seen them kind of softening the soil to go after DeSantis in case he becomes the nominee. Talking about how Disney World is hell on earth in Florida and, you know, he's attacking transgender people with his laws there and you don't say gay in Florida and all of these things. And he's rude and he pronounces Thai food. I've seen he's pudding with his fingers. I've seen everything on DeSantis. So I'm not really convinced that they're giving DeSantis the same treatment they did in 2016 to Trump when they thought Trump was going to be an easy mark. Because in 2016, the media thought Trump will be defeated by Hillary Clinton. So they had him on Morning Joe. They really puffed him up. They got him. They gave him so much coverage. They let him suck all the air out of the room, and then he used it to his own benefit. And that was their miscalculation. But I don't think they're miscalculating DeSantis in that way. So I'm going to say that, yes, the Democrats want Donald Trump to be the nominee.
57% of the audience says no, the Democrats do not want that. 43% believe the Democrats do want Trump as the nominee.
That's still pretty close, though,
for
us.
That is a close poll.
All right, let's go to Tom. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Grace, I just need to remind you that with Trump's attorney, Cohen, he lied under oath as well as he did not pay hit income tax from the IRS. And they're conveniently leaving that out on CNN and MSNBC. And the other thing is that with Michael Avenatti, prior to the 2020 election, it might have been 2019, but Anderson Cooper just had this magnificent crush on Michael Avenatti that, oh, my God, he is just such presidential material. It's unbelievable what is happening in this country.
To be fair, and Tom, to be fair, it was not limited to Anderson Cooper at all. It was every single person on CNN. It was Brian Stelter. It was Wolf Blitzer. It was the women on The View. It was Jim Acosta. Like, every person in the media thought Michael Avenatti 2024. And I'm going to throw something else out there. I haven't given up on that yet. I'm a true believer. Like, if I am a fan of yours, I'll be a fan of yours to the end. And I got the campaign posters ready to go. If Avenatti wants to rev back up and try this again, if he wants to try to win it from the cell, there's been politicians who have done it before, I will be there for him. Avenatti, and who could be his running? Maybe we'll do Avenatti Cohen 2024. I don't know, though. Can you run if you're a convicted felon? I don't know if you can. We'll have to do a little digging into that. Probably not. But maybe it can be like a spiritual campaign. You know, they're not running to actually win. They're running to make a statement. You are right, though, about Cohen. It's all about being a useful idiot. Because, like, think about Ray Epps. I know this is kind of out there, but follow me on this. Ray Epps supposedly was not a Fed, but who took part in January 6th. Because the media thought that conservatives were using Ray Epps to boost the narrative that maybe this wasn't exactly what the media was telling us it was when it comes to the insurrection, they then became like almost fangirls of Ray Epps. They started writing these pieces about how Ray Epps is a victim. So all Ray Epps had to do to go from the worst person in the world, an insurrectionist who almost overthrew our democracy, was to kind of become a target of MAGA Republicans. Once the left knows that MAGA Republicans don't like you, they will embrace you. It doesn't matter if it makes zero sense as part of their belief system. They will embrace you just because Republicans are picking on you. And it's the same with Cohen right now. Yeah, he's a convicted felon. Yeah, he's lied multiple times. Yeah, he's all over the map. But he's trying. He's trying his best to get Trump. And that means something. That definitely means something. He's a useful idiot. Now, the problem for Cohen is when he stops being a useful idiot and he becomes a useless idiot, then he's got some problems to worry about. Then the gravy train might stop. And I don't know how well his first book did, but I don't think there's going to be a huge groundswell for a second book unless we get the Trump mugshot, which is seeming a little less likely right now. Hey, I just wanted to comment. We'll continue to take your calls on this when we come back. I just wanted to say one thing. We were talking about how these LA teachers, the teachers union, is having a strike in LA. And a lot of parents are upset about this because their kids have already missed like 18 months of school due to COVID. Now the teachers are striking. And it's not just the teachers. It's the bus drivers. It's the cafeteria workers. And a video came out of the teachers who are striking dancing in the rain. Like they're on a crosswalk and they're doing some sort of dance, almost like the electric slide. And this got me thinking. Remember when this used to happen during COVID? We were told all the time how overwhelmed the hospitals were and how overwhelmed the nurses were. And I'm not downplaying that at all. You guys know I love nurses. I've got some nurses in my family and they're the toughest ladies I know. And I'm sure the men are very tough too. But all I'm saying is when they would put up these videos of them doing TikToks and dances, it rubbed people the wrong way. So now you have these teachers who are forcing or requiring parents to figure out another way to go to their jobs, to go about their day, because now they have these kids sitting at home again. And it's just close enough to the pandemic that I'm sure these parents are having like a visceral reaction to seeing their kids back at the counter while they're trying to get ready for work. Like, oh, great, now I have to get a babysitter. This reminds me of 2020. Now my kid's watching TV all day. Now I feel like a crappy parent because I don't have time to spend trying to educate them while I have to go to work. And so it's just enough time that's passed where I still think it's really fresh. And so all of those feelings come back. And then they see these teachers with their umbrellas doing this dance. Like they're dancing in the rain. One, two, three. And they just explode. There's people on Twitter going, "What are you doing? Get back to work. Our kids are sitting at home. Like you're trying to convince us this is just cause that you're, you know, don't cross the picket line and you're dancing." And I just don't get. And this is really, Jared, you could answer this maybe. Actually, no, you're older than me. You wouldn't be able to answer it. But what's up with the dancing? Like, why does everybody, my nana used to say, at the end of the day, everybody wants to be a singer. Well, I would say to my nana if she were alive, you know what, nana? I think everybody wants to be a dancer because the dancing has got to stop.
Fast Times at Busby Berkeley High.
It's ridiculous. And I don't blame parents for being ticked off. I don't, because it's rubbing salt in the wounds. It's like, you better find a babysitter. By the way, check out this move. This is the 1-2 step. And they all stink, too. I mean, just to add insult to injury. You know, it reminds me of the imagine all the people. If you're going to do it, if you're going to insult everybody and rub it in people's faces that you're not going to work and that their kids are sitting home, at least, you know, at least have the timing down. At least nail the moves. That's the least you can do for us is get the dance right. All right, we'll be right back. We'll talk more about this. And I actually do want to talk about California today because there's a lot going on in California as we speak. A new topical skin cream can help reduce wrinkles, bags under your eyes, sagging skin, and dark circles without the use of dangerous, expensive Botox injections. It's called Skin DH. This skin cream was developed to provide temporary tightening of your skin and help you look younger to give you the courage you need to take on the day. Reduce the signs of aging and get your confidence back. Skin de-age works by mimicking a crucial protein in the Botox formula to provide the visual effects of a facelift in just 10 minutes and lasts all day. Skin de-age offers visible results that are similar to Botox without the side effects. These side effects include injection site pain, swelling, bruising, headache, flu-like symptoms, and droopy or crooked-looking facial features. And each injection is expensive, reaching at least $240 for one treatment. But with Skin DH, you can get the same amazing results at a fraction of the price with no side effects. Today, we have a special discount code that you can get. You can buy one, get one free. That's a 60-day supply for the price of 30 days. Here's the offer. It's BOGO, buy one, get one free. So go to painlessfacelift.com, use discount code GRACEBOGO. That's painlessfacelift.com, discount code GRACEBOGO. I was just thinking, if I sent Howie a video of all of us here while he was in Florida, and we were all doing a choreographed dance, and I was like, hey, boss, check it out. I'm almost certain that his response would be like, hey, any work to be done there? What's going on? But the teachers that are supposed to be educating the youth are out there acting like they're part of the Jackson 5. It's not going to fly. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show. It's electric.
Here's a fun fact about the Curley clan. We've got some women in my family, on my father's side, my aunts, giving you all a shout out right now, who can tear up the dance floor to Electric Slide like you've never seen, Jared. You think it's just like a step-by-step, follow the rules. It's not. Okay? If the Curlies are at some sort of event and this comes on, it's on.
Oh, you know, this song has haunted my years growing up because I was at the right age. Every roller rink, every school dance, every wedding, everything.
Everybody wants you out on the floor. Never, that's the thing.
Never learned how to do this.
Maybe I'll make a video and put it up, tick everybody off. No, that's the thing is that when this would come on, one of my favorite people in the world, she since passed, she was actually my cousin's grandmother on the other side. She would do this dance. My cousin hates to dance. And she would pull her physically onto the dance floor and be like, it's the Electric Slide. And if you weren't doing it right, she was 80 years old and she would just hammer you until you stepped it up, until she thought it was okay. But the reason we're talking about this is because the teachers in LA are taking a break from, you know, the picket lines and they're dancing while they're on strike, and they're filming it and they're putting it out there. And I don't know in what world, nobody consults each other nowadays and says, like, let's think about this. Is this a good idea?
Yeah, where's quality control?
Will the parents appreciate this? Will we get more support or less support? Because I have to assume you're on strike, you want more support. Remember back in the day when there used to be strikes and people used to carry the signs, Jared? They'd have like the signs attached to the long piece of wood and they'd say things, hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. It had more to me, and maybe I'm just old school, but to me it had more of a punch than trying to kind of shuffle around a crosswalk offbeat to some song that's not even playing. It's like they're playing it in their own heads.
You never saw the Charleston back in the old days when GE had walkouts.
Yeah, or maybe we
all
did.
I'm saying.
Maybe they did it, and we just don't have the TikToks to
prove
it.
Do the mashed potato for better pay.
I don't think it works, but what do I know? We'll be right back with more. It's the Grace Curley Show.